Let's turn to today's text in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, chapter 10. In the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verses 1 to chapter 11, verse 1. The book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 1 to chapter 11, verse 1. If you find that, would you please stand while I read God's word to you. Daniel, chapter 10, verse 1. This is the word of God. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true and its concern a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in the vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotion at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I have no strength left. My face turned deadly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking. And as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you have set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed. He said, peace, be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. So he said, Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supported me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him. This is the word of God. Please be seated. It was late in July. This young man walking on the street of a foreign city. This foreign city located in subtropical area on Earth. So naturally the climate was hot, humid, sticky, with high humidity and high temperature. As he was walking on the street with his family, his heart filled with complaint. Even though this was the second time he returned to this city, but between the first time and this time, it has been a long time. He had just moved his family to this city for the sake of preparing himself to serve God. And he was complaining in his heart. What am I doing? Did I make the right decision? Did I make a mistake? Because ever since we moved here, nothing went right. The paperwork with the government, the climate, all the daily details were so hard. Did I make a mistake? As he was walking on the street of that city, his heart filled with doubts and complaints. I think sometimes we find ourselves in a similar situation. When we see things going very smoothly, we will praise God and go around in our life joyfully. But when we start encounter difficulties and challenges, maybe the first time, second time, third time, then the complaints start to pile up in our hearts. To a degree, we lose hope and lost our energy. Similar situation in chapter 10 in the beginning. This is a series of visions. Actually, it's the last vision from chapter 7 to 12 that God has given Daniel to see what is going to happen in the end time. What human history, particularly related to God's people, will be unfold. And these visions were not good pictures. One is harder than the other. Started with four beasts coming out from the ocean, and then the war between the ram and goat. And then last week we get into the vision, the prophecy of the 77. Now we come to the last vision in the book of Daniel, which started from chapter 10 to chapter 12. And more importantly, Daniel himself found that he was deep inside enemy territory. While his people were ready and most of them has gone and returned to Jerusalem to launch into the effort of rebuilding the city. And this 90-year-old prophet found himself not in Babylon, but further east. Because Babylon is located on another river. But now he found himself in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. A revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. This name has not occurred since a couple chapters before. Because the book of Daniel keeps emphasizing that Daniel belonged to God. Even though Babylonian king gave him a new name, but the book continued to use his Hebrew name. However, here, that his foreign name being mentioned again. I think the author of the book of Daniel himself, tried to remind the readers that he was not in a better situation at all. The situation is actually getting worse. And the name reminded him he is in captivity. Not only is he in captivity, but he's even further in the kingdom of Persia, even further away from the promised land. Because he, in verse 4, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, is a couple hundred miles even further east. While he saw his people all returning back to Jerusalem, he himself was left behind. He himself was even further, deeper into enemy territory. And in his mind, he knows that he will never, ever set foot or set his eye on the city that he grew up in, ever. That is why Daniel, in this chapter, it opened up with a very grim picture. At the time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotion at all until the 3 weeks were over. He was in deep anguish and pain. A lifelong faithful service to God, and at the end of this, I don't even get the chance to see the city that I grew up in, the land that God promised my ancestors. And I'm not going to see that deliverance. And it's at this moment, God gave Daniel a supernatural vision. The vision is recorded in chapter 11 and 12. As next week and the week to come that we go into those detail of the vision, you know that there's more and more hard time coming for God's people. So not only Daniel find himself that in my last years in my life, basically has no hope of going back to the city that I belong to, but God also gave me a vision to see there's further pain down the road, further difficulties and hardship down the road. No wonder, he said, I lost all my strength. No wonder, he said, I mourned for 3 weeks. But in the midst of this depth of hopelessness, God has a supernatural manifestation to Daniel. In verse 5, I look up and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like crystalline, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torch, his arms and legs like the gleaming of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Who is this man in white linen? The text did not tell us, but we have some hint. In the first chapter of the book of Revelation, when John, as Apostle John, saw the vision, he saw Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. Let me read that to you. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." There's striking similarity between these two figures. It's the manifestation of God, the triune God, the second person, before incarnation, that God showed himself before Daniel. This is the pre-incarnate Christ that Daniel's encounter. And notice that the similarity between the two accounts. When Daniel saw this man dressed in white linen, and when Apostle John saw the man who dressed in the white robe, they both have the same reaction. They fell to the ground. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The man with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them, they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deadly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. Similar situation like as Apostle Paul. But this man in dress in white linen did something very, very important. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. Same as the man in the first chapter of Revelation, he touched Apostle John. God touches us in time of devastation to give us strength. And what is that strength? Because that strength is coming from what God said to Daniel. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed. The same term like last week in the previous chapter. Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Direct translation, Daniel, you are highly desired by God. You are beloved. God touches us to assure his love for us, so that we can stand before him, even in times of hardship and challenge. God touches us to assure that he loves us, so that we can stand before him. This is before you and I can even do anything for God. Many of you heard my story before, when I struggled to respond to God's calling years ago. When God called me to serve him full time, I struggled for that for 5 years. This was a lot of pain and a lot of struggle. But in one sentence, I can summarize all my struggle and let you know what I was struggling with. I was struggling with who I am, what I can do for God. And I have great doubt of my ability. And I have great doubt of my capacity. And I have great doubt of my holiness. I felt deep, deep sense of inadequacy responding to that calling. And that struggle dragged for 5 years, produced a lot of tension between me and Judy. Judy being the supportive wife, she tried everything to encourage me to step forward and to just trust God. But to a degree that for a person who is struggling with that, those encouragement turn into expectation. So it become tension between us. Until one night, one evening, when she approached me and said to me, then I realized God speak through her. Christ speak through my wife to me. What she said is, if your struggle is so severe, if you have so much pain, even though you don't follow God and you don't serve him full time, I will still love you and I will still be a supportive wife and I will follow you. And I heard that loud and clear, because that is not the words not only coming from the mouth of my wife, but it's coming from my Lord, the one who called me. Before I can do anything for him, he assured me that his love for me did not change, will not change. And that gave me strength to stand up. And that turned my whole decision process overnight. 5 years struggle disappeared in 1 week. That is the power of God's love. And that is the same power at work in Daniel's life, the same power at work in my life, and the same power will be at work in your life as well. Because he looked at you. He looked at you as if he looked at his beloved son, Jesus Christ. And you are highly esteemed. Regardless of how you look at yourself right now. Regardless of all the record that you can call up in your memory of these sins, these things that I did, these thoughts that is in my mind, as long as you hold on with your Lord Jesus Christ, God look at you through the lens of his Son. You are highly esteemed. God touches us to assure us that he loves us so that we can stand before him. But in chapter 10, there's more than one touch of God. further down in verse 10, further down in verse 15 and 16. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. What did he say? What he said was in verse 12. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard." When Daniel prayed for his people, when Daniel identified himself with his people and prayed, God said, "Your prayer, when you humble yourself, I heard it. It reached to me. And then, therefore, I come and respond to them. But the prince of Persian kingdom resists me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." Now you might be wondering when you read down these verses from verse 12 to verse 14. You might start to get confused a little bit and think, who is this speaking? If this is the pre-incarnate Christ speaking, then how come the prince of Persian kingdom can resist him for 21 days? Isn't our God the Almighty God? Isn't Christ the Almighty God? How can the prince of Persia resist him for 21 days? And also he has enlisted the help of another archangel, Michael, to come help him. When you push on this, when you have that question, I tell you the answer. I don't know, because this is one of the most difficult texts in the Bible. But people, Bible scholars come up with basically two kinds of explanation. The first explanation is we are talking about two heavenly beings here. The one who dressed in white linen was speaking, and then now another heavenly being appear. Some commentators said maybe it's Gabriel. But I think, you know, if you read carefully with the text, it doesn't match very well. And I tend to believe that this is the same heavenly being the pre-incarnate Christ was speaking. Now, then we face difficulties. How come the king, the prince of Persia can resist him for 21 days and he has to enlist Michael's help? I think it has something alluding to Christ's suffering. There is a spiritual battle going on in the spiritual realm. We live our everyday life as if there's nothing happened in a peaceful country. But if you look at your daily life, you look at the entertainment business and industry that you encounter every day, you read the news stories, you read the newspaper commentaries and columns, you understand there's a severe battle of values going on. And the worldly value is doing everything, try to capture our mind and heart and our eyes so that it will come into our heart and change our value system. But God, at the same time, with His Holy Spirit, is pressing upon our hearts and mind and wage a spiritual battle against the prince of this world. But our daily life seems to be so peaceful and uneventful. But in the spiritual realm is a severe spiritual battle going on. God is waging a battle against the devil for His people. And this is a severe battle. And that severe battle actually presents before us on the last couple hours in Jesus' life on earth. That He pray in the garden. Sweat dropped down like blood. That was a severe spiritual battle. The second head in the Trinity, the Son, for our sake, put down His glory, took the form of a human, and humbled Himself like a slave. the pain that he bare for you and for me. Not just the physical pain, but the pain that totally separate and forsaken by the Holy Father, because he bare your sin and my sin, has been so severe on him, and prompt him to pray to God that if it can you remove this cup from me? But not my will, but thy will. That was the severe battle. And I think here in chapter 10, it allows us to see a little bit this pre-incarnate Christ, the second head in the Trinity. Yes, he's Almighty God. But for our sake, he entered into this battle. And remember when Jesus was praying in the garden, angel came to serve him. Just like here, Michael come and help him. It was so severe, it was so difficult. And that is why Daniel saw that I bowed my face toward the ground and was speechless. And in verse 10, this man dressed in linen touched him again. The one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. He couldn't even speak. He was speechless. He saw that the severity of the sin of my people, they caused God the pain. And I have no words from my mouth. And I think Daniel not only identified himself with his people, but he also saw his own sin and inadequacy. Because the second touch is fairly similar like in Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah saw in the temple, suddenly the ceiling opened up and he saw that God was sitting in his throne and his robe, like the chain of his robe, is covering all over the place. And the first thing his response was, "Woe to me, because I'm a person of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. He saw his own sin when he faced the Holy God. So here, verse 16, "Then the one who looked like a man touched my lip, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, 'I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe.'" This is the irony here. He could not speak. God touched him so he can speak. What did he say? He said, I cannot speak. I'm wordless. I'm speechless. God touched him to assure his love toward him so that he can stand before him. God touches him again to assure to Daniel that you can speak before me. Just like Isaiah, the angel took the charcoal from the altar and touched upon his lips to cleanse him so that you can speak before me, so that you can confess before me. So brothers and sisters, don't even think that your confession is your merit, your hard work. Because even your own confession, your ability to confess was the touch of God that enabled you. He touched upon you so that you know that you are a sinner and you confess your sin before him. He cleansed you so that you can speak before him. Then the man in white linen touched him again. Again, the one who looked like the man touched me and gave me strength. "Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed," he said. "Peace, be strong now, be strong." God touches him again. God touched him the first time to say that, "I love you. You can stand before me." God touched him the second time to tell him that, "You can speak before me because I will cleanse you." Now God touched him again to give him strength, to give him peace. Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed. Do not be afraid, O beloved. Peace. Be strong now. Be strong. God touched him again so that he can have the strength to do what? To embrace what God going to show him in the vision. To embrace God's plan. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength." So he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth." The worldly kingdom, kingdom of Persia will come, will rise, will be strong, and then another kingdom will rise up and replace it. These are the hard times going to come. But I will give you strength so that you will embrace my plan. And Daniel was given the strength by the touch of God. And he gained strength and asked the Lord, "Lord, speak. I will listen. I will embrace your plan." The young man walking in a foreign city, in the summer heat of July, sweat all over his brows. His shirt was all wet. He took his family to join a small group meeting, a family gathering. First time in a new city, first find a new church and start to engage in that church. Hoping that get into this place, this is a good-looking high-rise apartment in that city. At least out of this heat and the dust on the street, I can get inside and enjoy 1 or 2 hours of air conditioning. To his amazement and surprise, when he walked into the apartment, there was no air conditioning unit. And he was told that the owner of the apartment, preparing himself for God's service, tried to live a simple lifestyle. Such a joke. I can't even sit down and get my sweat dry. He thought to himself. So he endured the 2 hour small group meeting. At the end, getting ready to go, the group gathered around that new family, knowing that they come to this city for preparing themselves for the service of God. They pray for them. While they lay hand upon the whole family and pray for them, one of the sisters opened the Bible, flipped some pages, and read a verse to pray for this family. It happened to be the verse that God called this young man to serve him full time. God touched him through his word in the most difficult moment in his heart. It turned his heart totally around at that night. The heat, the humidity, the dusty environment doesn't matter anymore because he knew God was with him. He was highly esteemed. That was my experience the first month in the city of Taipei. God touched me. God touched Daniel. God can also touch you. He touched you through his word. He touched you through your experience. God is saying, "I love you." God is saying, not only I love you, but I will cleanse you. So don't be afraid. Bring your needs before me. Confess your needs before me. And I will strengthen you and give you strength to embrace what I have in mind for you. Dedicate 2012 in the Lord's hand, because he is able, he cares, he knows. Let's bow and pray. as we pray, I want to invite you to dedicate your new year in God's hand. And ask that, God, would you use me, touch me, beyond my imagination in year 2012, so that your glory will shine in my life. And he touched you this morning through the communion as well, to once again remind you, I love you. Come before me, confess your needs, because I will cleanse you and I will give you strength to move on.